We will open the scriptures together in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, reading from the first verse. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand therefore in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And we'll end our reading there and pray that the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his word. Let us unite our hearts together as we come to the Word, that we will especially know the Lord's help, his wisdom and grace. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank thee that we have not been left to muddle our way through life to eternity's shore. O Lord, thou hast given to us thine inspired, inerrant, thy holy word. We know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and every word is profitable, and we pray that this night it will be with eternal benefit and profit that we come to thy precious truth. We rejoice in the glorious gospel of the happy God. And Lord, thou hast designed our eternal well-being, our eternal felicity and happiness. Thou hast made it possible to pass from under the judgment and the wrath due to our sins to the place where we are accepted with God in the Beloved. So, Lord, enable us, give us wisdom, hide us behind the cross, and may Christ be the preeminent one, and may eternal blessing come to other lives through the word preached tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, and Paul says in verse 11, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?" And then he says, "Then is the offense of the cross ceased." A battle royal was raging in the churches in Galatia. There were those who were preaching up circumcision and the keeping of the commandments as an integral and necessary part of salvation. To add weight to their arguments, these false teachers, they said to the Christians in the churches in Galatia, "This is what Paul believes. He preaches the necessity of circumcision to be a Christian." It was a slanderous report. It was without any substance or fact. Paul took those false teachers on in the words of verse 11. Paul said, he reasoned, "If I am a preacher of the rites and requirements of Judaism, if that is so, if that is the case, why then am I still being persecuted? If what you're saying is the truth, then the offense of the cross would have ceased. What reason can you give as to why I am still hated and persecuted? Why is my life still on the line? If as you say, I am preaching Judaism. If what you're alleging is fact, then the offense of the cross would have ceased." You see, preaching salvation through the cross, through the blood atonement in Paul's day, was offensive. And there were many that stumbled at it and perished. Nothing has changed. Salvation by faith in Christ alone is still a stumbling block. It's a rock of offense to multitudes tonight. The preaching of peace through the blood of the cross is the answer to man's spiritual want and need, but it is offensive to so many. Perhaps there are some here who are offended by the work of the cross. You would be delighted if the preacher would switch the emphasis away from the cross to the commandments, to morality. If the preacher would only emphasize the sacraments and the ordinances of the church, that would be acceptable. It's a tragedy that Calvary should be an offense to you. There's no other way to be reconciled with God except by you embracing the Lord Jesus Christ freely offered in the gospel. To you, may the offense of the cross cease. May you be brought to the cross to to make its finished work your foundation for the great eternity. Then, far from being offended by it, you will live to glory in the cross. We will look at this offense in three ways. First of all, dealing with the features of it. The cross is an offense, for it erases human merit. The inclination in every one of us is to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. How often we hear people say, "I'm not so bad. I'm a good person." And in all of their charitable deeds, they are endearing, seeking to endearing themselves to God, seeking to build up merit before the Almighty. But the reality is that one's works are all imperfect. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20, we see that there is not a just man upon earth. No exceptions. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Oh, there are many black lines in the white web of your works. Your gold has much dross mixed with it. Your wheat has much chaff in it. In Isaiah chapter 64, this truth rings out from verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." We are all unclean. Spiritually, we are as those lepers of old. Our cry in the sight of God must be unclean, unclean. Paul dreaded that the Lord should find him in the judgment day, trusting in his own merits. This was his prayer in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. He prayed to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He came to the place where he saw clearly that no works, no merits of his would bring him to heaven. He trusted in the work of Jesus Christ to save his soul. "No works of merit now I plead, but Jesus take for all my need. No righteousness in me is found except upon redemption ground." The cross is an offense, for it erases human merit. It's an offense too, because it is the great equalizer among mankind. The third verse of Jude, it refers to the common salvation. In the next village to where we live in Northern Ireland, there is an area known as the Commons, Donaghadee Commons. In our country, the Commons are open spaces. It's an area that belongs to the public. It's for all to share and enjoy alike. And Jude speaks of the common salvation, the cross, its benefits and blessings. They flow to the high and the low, to the rich and the poor, to the philosopher and the peasant. The cross recognizes no distinctions in society, but the cross will not pander to the proud Pharisaical spirit. The cross will not pander to those that trust in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. Before the cross, all must take the sinner's place and have faith, saving faith in Christ. The cross allows no flesh to glory in God's presence. All must, like the publican, smite the breast and cry before the cross, "God be merciful to me, the sinner." We must come as guilty, hell-deserving souls. The cross is an offense too, because it shows the enormity of sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the enormity of it is put clearly on display at the place called Calvary. It's true, sin banished Adam from paradise. It plunged the angels that fell into those everlasting chains in hell. More than that, sin, your sin and mine, it took the Christ of God, the one made higher than the heavens, holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, and it nailed him to the cruel tree. It pierced his side. It shed his blood. It took away his life. We hear the mocking crowd with one voice saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And in the spitting and the shame, in the anguish and the sufferings of the cross, the sinfulness of sin is written large. It's written boldly for all to see. And think what an enormity sin is when only blood, only the precious blood of God can wash it away. The sacrifices on Jewish altars, the blood of bulls and goats could never wash hearts black with sin, whiter than snow. Only the more excellent sacrifice of Christ could atone for our sin. What can wash away my sin, we often sing? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, instead of taking offense at the cross, look at sin, your sin as it is. See its wickedness in taking Christ and slaying him on the tree. Only the blood of God could pay for sin, provide cleansing from its guilt and power. The cross is an offense too. for it excludes all other ways. In this multi-faith age, the cross is offensive to the worldly wise. But the patriarchs knew no other way but the way called Calvary. What was said of Abraham can be said of Noah, Jacob, and so forth. In John chapter 8 and verse 56, here's what we read concerning Abraham. John 8, verse 56, your father Abraham, the Lord Jesus says, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What's the verse speaking of? It's speaking of what we read in Genesis chapter 22. When Abraham was commanded, he was put to the test. Commanded to offer up his son Isaac, the darling of his bosom. And Abraham, in obedience, went to the appointed place. And the altar was made, and the wood was set on the altar. And as Abraham was about to slay his son, he saw the ram. He saw the lamb that God had provided. But he saw more than that. He saw Christ's day. He saw the cross. He was transported in his mind's eye to Calvary. He saw Christ's day and was glad. He saw the way of salvation and he made the Lord his trust. The patriarchs knew no other way. The apostles knew no other way. We think of Peter when in Acts 4 and verse 12, he makes it ever so clear, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name, just the one. In the time of the judges, the scriptures tell us that saviors were provided, were raised up. In other words, deliverers were raised up. People like Jephthah, Deborah, Samson, Gideon. Saviors for the nation. But when it comes to your soul and mine, there are not many saviors. There's but one. The one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul in Antioch, in Acts chapter 13 and verses 38 and 9, he said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Through Christ is preached unto you, says Paul, the forgiveness of sins. The features of the offense of the cross. Oh, is it the case tonight that you're offended by the cross? I pray not. Secondly, we think of the folly of this offense. What would you say of the drowning man rejecting the lifeline that is thrown out to him amid the boisterous waves? It's his only means of escape, but somehow or other he's offended with that lifeline. He will not cling to it. And what about the person so seriously, gravely ill, spurning the medicine which alone can restore health and vigor and vitality to the body? And there's the case of the person trapped in the burning inferno, offended when the fireman vigorously throws up the ladder to the windowsill. Offended by what the fireman is doing. You would say every one of these are fools. Yes, fools indeed. But do you not see a reflection of yourself in these cases? What madness on your part! You're offended with Jesus Christ, who alone can pluck your soul as a brand out of the fire. You're offended with the Lord, who alone can fit you for the inheritance of the saints in light. Offended with the glorious gospel, because it doesn't flatter you. It's for sinners. Oh, take your place as a lost sinner, and you will find salvation at the cruel tree. The cross is the means that the wisdom of God has devised to save the soul from everlasting burning. Its message is for you. It will meet you at the point of your need. It will provide salvation for your soul to the uttermost. And yet you're offended by it. Oh, is this not the height of all folly? Oh, that you would see the error of your ways and turn to the Lord with your whole heart. A knock came to the door of the Reverend Charles Berry of Wolverhampton in England. And Berry, though a brilliant communicator, he was a stranger to the cross. He continually set before his congregation the example, the pattern of Christ. The young girl who knocked at his door was very distressed. She said, "Mr. Berry, I want you to come and get my mother in." Thinking it was a domestic situation, Mr. Berry replied, "You need a policeman." "Oh no," said the young girl, "my mother's dying, and you're a preacher, and I want you to come and to get her in." And soon Mr. Berry was alongside the bed, and he began to speak to the lady, and he set before her the perfect life and the worthy example of the Son of God. The lady became more restless and more disturbed. She said, "That's no good for the likes of me. Don't you know that I am a poor sinner?" And Mr. Berry realized he had no gospel. And then he thought of the faith that his mother brought him up in. It was the faith that he lost in the modernistic college where he trained. And he began to tell the dying woman the story of the cross, how that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, how that God was in Christ at the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. He quoted 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that dear woman found peace with God through believing in Christ. And Charles Berry said, I got her in. She went home to glory, trusting in the blood of the Lamb. And something else happened. I got myself into. The minister got to the cross, and he came as a sinner to the one who receives such. Have done with your folly. Get into Christ. Be wise. Prepare to meet God. Then lastly, we think of the finishing of the offense. Those who trust in the work of the cross, they come to glory in it. Think of this great apostle Paul. In chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, for him the offense has ceased. None was more offended by the cross than the proud Saul of Tarsus. Didn't he hate Christianity? In Acts chapter 22 and the verse 4. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Paul says, in giving his testimony here, he says, I persecuted this way unto the death. He's speaking about those who are in the way of the Lord, the way of the gospel. He says, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He did not spare any. He did all in his power to put to death those who were in the faith. On the Damascus Road, a work of wondrous grace, of salvation was wrought in his heart. And the very chief of sinners, men and women, was altogether persuaded to be a Christian. He lost the burden and the guilt of his sin and became a child of God. And in Acts chapter 9, Ananias was sent to him in verse 5 with this message. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, rather. The Lord said, Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You see, the offense of the cross has ceased. He has become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, and he lives now to glory in the cross. Bunyan tells us in Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim arrived at the cross and looked by faith to the Savior, his burden of sin fell off and was buried in the grave. Pilgrim then said, blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put
to shame for me. Come to the cross. Through the blood, you can be cleansed from all your unrighteousness, and you can be at one with God. Kiss the Son, David says. Embrace the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. What a dreadful thing to be offended at the cross. If that's how you came to the meeting, my prayer to God for you is that that offense will finish and you will fall in with the offer of gospel mercy. May you too tonight come to hide and shelter under the wounds of the cross, and it will then be well with your soul. May God bless his word to all of our hearts. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Father, how we thank thee tonight for our Redeemer. We thank thee for the one who set his face like a flint toward the cross. We know, Lord, that thou wast straitened until all was accomplished, until the price of sin was paid, until the fountain was filled with blood, with thine own blood. And we know tonight that thou art the mighty to save. Thou canst save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Thou alone could say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, we pray that none in this service will take offense at the cross, but all will see in that finished work their soul's salvation. And we pray, Lord, that others will make the work of thy cross their foundation for now and forevermore. So give deciding grace and part us in thy fear, and with thy blessing we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.